What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
It is an honor to welcome in my desk mate, my teammate, my colleague over at SNY. And by the way, you could check the Mets out all season long, of course, right on SNY. Tune in Saturday to the best booth in baseball, Juan Soto, and the Mets take on Aaron Judge and the Yankees in the Subway Series Battle in the Bronx. Coverage begins Saturday, 12:30, only on SNY and streaming on the MLB app. But he is the co-host pre- and post-game shows, BT, with Gary Apple, Todd Zeal, former Met, of course, played in the 2000 Subway Series. What's up, Todd?
What's happening, Sally? And by the way, that was a mouthful. You got a lot out there.
Yeah, I tried to...
You should hear most of it. What an intro. Todd, what an intro for you, Todd.
I want to make sure I come correct for you, Todd. This is the first time I had you on the radio show here. Welcome
aboard. Yeah, I noticed that you just glossed over the fact that I played on the other side of town, too. But, you know, we won't mention that in this Subway Series conference.
I promise I won't bring up Timo Perez either. I promise you.
I'm just kidding.
And you brought up that you played for the Yankees. I'm still trying to forget that. Before we get into the Soto and the current day stuff, Todd, obviously you played for the Mets in the 2000 World Series, Subway Series, even regular season. Give me your favorite moment or most memorable moment in the Subway Series.
Oh, wow. That's a great one. The Subway World Series obviously was something that was special, and leading up to it was, you know, electric. The city was alive. Everybody was anticipating these two teams getting together. And that one ended poorly. And in my, time during the season, through some of our Subway Series games, we had some really interesting games. But I didn't have, like, a real favorite moment, Sally, because we were always, you know, sort of on the losing end in those days, right? I mean, the Clemens Piazza fiasco in that night doubleheader, the day-night doubleheader, one in Shea, one in Yankee Stadium, was a really interesting, cool time for a Subway Series, mid-season competition, but it ended badly in both of those situations. So I'm still trying to get my favorite Subway Series moment. And I guess if we have to choose anything, I mean, it is, you know, we had a big win at Shea Stadium, and, you know, we're able to propel the series on. But aside from that, Sally, it was, it was not the results that I wanted, even though the competition and the rivalry and the city electricity was always, something that to behold.
Jeez, I'm sorry I brought it up. You could have just gone with Robin Ventura sliding into on the tarp during the rain delay, for goodness sake.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. You said it for me. That probably was the highlight.
Well, what about tonight, Todd? Because part of what BT and I have been discussing, and we've talked about this on SNY with Juan Soto, for the first time for me, from a fan's perspective, it feels like the two teams are on equal footing because of the signing of Juan Soto and all that that meant, where Steve Cohen has brought this team. How about the feeling now where the Mets and Yankees are heading into the Subway Series?
Well, I think it's you know, a really interesting time. To your point, both teams are good. Both teams are leading the division. First time that's happened in a Subway Series for quite some time. I think both teams have really interesting key players. I think both teams are winning in different ways. And so I do feel like it's a really interesting matchup. And I think both teams are playing relatively well coming into this this series, as opposed to last year. The Mets caught the Yankees at some flat time and were able to sweep the four and did it in pretty convincing fashion. I expect you know, this Subway Series to be a little bit different, because I think both teams are clicking pretty well and have you know, some star power and some bragging rights that they're looking to secure over the next few days.
Yes, no doubt. The emotions are high. By the way, good to have you on the show, man. I've been a fan from a distance. Your career, that you do a good job with Gary. I watch you guys quite a bit. You know, and listen, I want to ask you this, because when you came up as a catcher, we're old enough to remember that, obviously, Todd. So you might be the perfect person to ask this. We just kind of throw darts. Like, when we talk about the Mets pitching lab, we all have theories. I don't know how close we are. You're actually a former catcher, and you do this for a living. Take us inside the Mets pitching lab. What are they doing?
You know what? I wish I had more inside knowledge. What they're doing is, I think, in the most layman terms, is they're analyzing every single aspect of the pitcher's mechanics and the way the ball comes out of his hand, and then the shape of the ball on the way from his hand to home plate.
Okay.
And they can do it. They can do it in so many ways that have never really been possible before. And what I mean by that is, as a pitcher back when I was catching, and even until the last handful of years, even with some of the analytics where you could, you know, judge spin rates and try to find ways to improve spin rates, you didn't really know if it was impacting the pitch itself in a positive way. Now they can track everything to change shape of the pitch, to know what the optimal release point is on, you know, for a pitcher with certain pitches, to get the most downward movement, the latest movement, the thing that's going to be the most effective to a lefty or a righty. And there's a ton of information that they can garner from it, which is why, you know, as a hitter and as some of the hitters I've heard are like, we need to ban the pitch labs, because all of a sudden pitchers that already have a bit of an advantage, I think, in this high velo era,
yep,
are finding more advantages because of how precisely they can fine tune their pitches to attack a particular hitter.
Okay. I appreciate that fairly basic explanation. That's a good look into what they're doing. But my question, Todd, would be, the Mets have access to this. What about all the other teams? Like, why are the Mets finding all these reclamation projects that the Mets are fixing? The other teams have cameras. They have coaches. They have people who analyze these numbers. Why is so much more success in the Mets lab?
That's a great question. I mean, there was a lot of success in the Tampa Bay Rays, you know, pitching department for a long time, right? Guys, it was kind of like the laboratory for, you know, the broken toys, like in Toy Story. You go down there and come out, you know, bright and shiny with some new tricks. And they had, you know, they had analytics and they had data, but they also had an understanding from their pitching coaches and their strength and conditioning coaches that were able to apply that. Not everybody has the same information, and even the ones that have same information, there still is a human element that transfers that information into practical utility, and some guys can convey that better than others. I think Jeremy Hepner is one of the best pitching coaches in the business, and I not only say that because of his success, but look, the guy's survived four regimes here as a pitching coach with managers, four different managing changes. That says something about his ability to garner confidence from his pitching staff, and you're seeing the results in, you know, real time, year in and year out, with the performances he's getting out of the guys that he has, you know, in his corral.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Todd Zeal, former Met and former Yankee, but really he was a former Met more so than that. Almost a former everything if you go over Todd's baseball reference page, and he is currently the pre- and post-game Mets analyst. Todd, what have you thought of Juan Soto's first season with the Mets so far?
Well, look, it's been underwhelming so far, but he is still a presence in the lineup. He still makes the rest of the lineup better. His OPS is, you know, still at that 900 mark. It's something that he is such a phenomenal offensive player that even when he's doing things that, you know, most mortals in the game would consider a decent start to a season, it seems underwhelming for Juan Soto. So that being said, I'm starting to see what feels like a more confident Soto in the box. He lost some of that shuffle. You know, you and I have talked about this before. Part of what I hated about him as an opposing player is what I'm looking for him to bring to the table as a home player, right? Is that cockiness, that shuffle in the box, that ability to look at the pitcher and say, I've got you. There's no way you can escape me. And he hasn't quite had that swagger yet as a Met. I expect it to come. It'd be great to see it come this weekend.
You think he's been saving it for this weekend real quick? I got something else for you. You think he's saving it on purpose?
I don't think he's saving it. I mean, I think he's working his best to get into his best, you know, mode up there. But I think also, look, coming to the Yankees is one thing. It's playing in New York is an animal in and of itself. Mm-hmm. I think coming here with the expectations of that monster contract is a little bit different even than going to the Yankees and proving himself to be worthy of that monster contract.
I get it.
So I think right now he came out wanting to make a big splash right away. First spring training, at an opposite field 420-foot homer. And he's like, okay, I've got the swag. And then you saw him rolling over a bunch of pitches, swinging at balls early in the count, swinging at balls out of the strike zone, things that are very un-Juan Soto-like. And so I think he just was trying to do a little bit too much too early and now is settling in with the other guys around him.
What's Brett Beatty doing differently?
Brett Beatty, I think, you know, interestingly, in talking to some people that follow him very closely at the minor league level as well as the major league level, they said that this last time when he homered against Zach Wheeler, which I thought was a big statement because he has always had trouble with velo in, especially, and with velo anywhere up, belt or above, and that was all of those things that he was able to turn on and crush. And so when he went back down to AAA, the internal voices were telling me that he says he's not worried, he's figured something out, it's clicked, he has confidence that he'll be able to continue that and sustain it at the minor league or major league level, and when he's back, he'll prove that. And so I guess, you know, maybe that little added confidence has helped, but what I do see physically is a more balance.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Approach and a more aggressive swing path. He's not feeling for the ball right now and trying not to get out. He's trying to massacre the ball. And even on his foul balls and his swings and misses, it's an aggressive full force swing. And you can even analytically, his bat speed has improved.
Wow. Wow.
Come back. So there's something he's doing a little bit differently that's getting him barrel to the baseball when he was either fouling it off or missing it.
What have you seen so far from Alonzo? I don't understand the inconsistencies. He had a good start to his career, if not great start to his career. Two down years. You'd think, last year he's going to prove himself in a big walk year, and it was quite the opposite until the postseason. This year we're seeing the best version of Pete Alonzo ever. Why do you think that's the case?
That's a great question, Sally. I think he's always had these stretches in him. I think that he's a guy that it was a big deal for him when he first came up to prove that he wasn't just a slugger. And then for a couple of years when he was winning, home run titles and home run derbies, I think he fell into the trap of being okay being a slugger. And I think this time he's come back and wants to be a more complete hitter. By saying that, that doesn't make that happen, as you well know. So I think the relief of having the contract thing behind him, and no matter what he does this year, he's set for another year, whether it be to opt out and get paid much more than he would have gotten paid if he didn't sign an extension last year with the Mets, or it's to stay here. He knows he's set, and I think there's just that little bit of relief that comes with that to allow him to not be thinking about those things, not be thinking that every at bat is something that he's got to, rely on to get the big free agent contract. And he just looks locked in, and he's relaxed at the plate. I guess that's the key to me. He's relaxed at home plate. He doesn't look tense. He's not squeezing the bat. I used to watch him at times and think, okay, don't let the big muscles play here, Pete. The biceps, why are the biceps and the forearm so tight? You got to loosen that up. That slows the bat down. You're trying to hit it too far, trying to hit it too hard. Right now, he looks relaxed, like he's, an expression used to be like you're sitting in the rocking chair just watching the ball come in. And so he's making great swing decisions, having great takes, and he's not missing the ones that he's supposed to hit.
Yeah, and by the way, for those of us who've never dug into a major league batter's box, I'm sure more people can relate to this. It's like you're playing golf and you're just squeezing that, that grip and that metal. You're dying to crush one, and the harder you swing and the harder you squeeze, the less success you have. So it's the same philosophy, Todd, that's transferable to the batter's box with Pete. So I got something for you here. You played for a lot of managers. What, 10 or 11 teams? I think it was 11 teams in baseball?
11 teams, yeah, wow. 11 teams. The only repeat was with the Mets, so.
Okay.
Stops, but 11 teams,
yeah. Gotcha. Sorry, so 11 teams, a lot of managers, a lot of different personalities, a lot of different clubhouses, a lot of strengths and weaknesses. Give me two things that you think Mendoza does that separates himself from maybe some of the other young managers in the game.
I can give you two things. Number one, I think he communicates extraordinarily well. And why is that? Because I think he, in his process in coming up, in his bench coaching duties, and whatever it was, he was never like having to be the good cop. He was a guy that was always very direct. I had heard that about him before he came over here, and I've seen that from him. So as a guy that has the confidence in himself to know that what he's saying is what he believes, I think he's really authentic in his communication with the players. And that could be to Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor, or to Brett Beatty or Danny Young, right? Mm-hmm. It's a very consistent form of communication that he has with the players, which then I think allows him, to have the trust of those guys. And I think the second thing to me that separates him is he is all about information, but he is not married to it. I made an expression a couple of years ago that sometimes you've got to rely on your eyes and not the iPad, right? And I think for him, you watch him during the game. He never takes his eye off the game. He doesn't have an iPad in his hand. He takes, once in a while, he'll take little notes, but his recall after the game, he remembers every little nuance because he's paying attention, and his eyes help him make decisions, which is really unusual for a young manager in this game. They're always afraid of the scrutiny that would come would make a decision that is not completely by the book, right? He doesn't care. He makes the decisions based on information and his gut. And sometimes he's been wrong and said, hey, this time I didn't get that one right. But most of the time he's been right, and I have great respect for him to be able to do that.
BT and Sal on the Fan, a pleasure to be joined by Todd Zeal. Todd, one more before we let you go. Better teammate, Robin Ventura or Gary Apple?
Oh, God. I think those are equal. That's a great question, Sally. I think Gary Apple has got to be the nicest human being on the planet. He and his five brothers are all nice, which you've got to credit Mrs. Apple somewhere along the line because, boy, she did a good job with those five boys. But I've known Gary for 30-plus years. I've known Robin for almost 40 years. Mm. So, yeah, Robin and I met when he was still in high school, and I tried to get him to come to UCLA, but that's a whole other story. but great teammate in the big leagues, my favorite guy, great sense of humor, solid as a rock, as a guy that you want in your foxhole. And then Gary Apple has taken it to a new level as my transitional teammate. And God, man, Sal, why'd you put me on the spot?
Well,
with that?
I mean, I could
take a position.
I could have brought up Charlie Sheen, but I didn't want to go there. I figured you'd take him over both those guys.
Yeah, no, both great teammates, different genres, fortunately, but both amazing teammates.
Todd, you do great work on SOY, of course. It's been a pleasure getting to know you a little bit over there and become friendly, but I respect you as a player, too. You look at the numbers, very consistent. BT and I were talking about it before, good performer in the postseason, consistent numbers in the big leagues. I think underrated and underappreciated to a certain extent. Thank you, Todd. We appreciate the time.
Awesome. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
Make sure you watch Amazing.
Brandon, thanks, man.
Yep, my pleasure, Todd. Yeah, thanks, pal. Hey,
next time we got to get you in studio. We'll talk about your career more, have some
Let's
more fun.
Yeah. Anytime you want, man.
Yeah, looking forward to that. All right, Todd, thank you. I'll see you over at SNY in a little bit. And make sure you watch Amazing Unfold all season long on SNY. Tune in Saturday to the best booth in baseball as Juan Soto and the Mets take on Aaron Judge and the Yankees in a Subway Series battle in the Bronx. Coverage begins Saturday at 12:30 only on SNY and streaming on the MLB app. He would be a fun guy because you, like, right now, wheelhouse.
I've talked to a guy like that all day, man. Yeah. I mean, I could have, listen, if we're sitting here at a bar or having dinner and Ventura's name comes up, I would have automatically swerved to college when I remember Robin Ventura hit 470. And I think he had like a 60-something game hit streak at Oklahoma State. You know, funny, we talk about baseball benchmarks, 3,000 hits, 500 bombs. But I would love to know, it's actually a pretty easy search, because he had over 250 home runs and over 1,000 RBIs.
Yeah, I'm just gonna add up. Yeah.
Over 1,000. Like, I wonder, like, what percentage, 1%, 2% of the 3% of the players in Major League history had over 250 home runs and 1,000 ribbies. You'd be surprised how many good players that you thought were better than they really were. Like, when we were growing up, you're like, oh, wow, 870 RBIs. But it just seemed bigger. He had over 1,000 RBIs.
And I really think he would be one of the more prominent names or more notable players to get overlooked because of the steroid era.
And he bounced around, too. I think there was more familiarity. Like, if he was with Baltimore forever or the Cardinals forever or the Mets forever, I think that hurts him a little bit.
Fair enough.
How people remember him.
But maybe in part because, you know, he was a guy who played third base, first base. Maybe they're looking for more power numbers, especially in that era.
Yeah.
But a good pro major leaguer.
Absolutely.
And think about the degrees of separation in Major League Baseball. When you play for that many teams over this, 16 years playing for 11 different teams, think of how many teams, not to mention college that he referenced, like, think of how many teammates and players that had over the years, or managers, or different stories with runners. He's a fascinating.
He's been around forever, dude. He started his career in '89, so he's a college kid. He was a second round, got drafted out of high school, then he went to college, obviously, second round pick at UCLA. And he comes up, he makes his debut at the age of 23. So starting in college at the highest level that you could possibly play through now, when he's still intimately involved in the game. I mean, you go back to, that's pretty much the mid-'80s. Think about all the players he played with and against.
And what's the one thing that he's most known for, probably, at least in these parts? Timo
Prince, but was that out of bounds bringing that up?
No.
Maybe if it was Timo, it would have been out of bounds. It's not Todd's fault Timo didn't run.
I think
he crushed it off the top of the fence. If he did take steroids, he would have had a home run.
Well, there you go. We brought it up with Andy Pettit. Remember, we had Pettit on opening day at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Zeal would have had maybe one of the biggest hits in Mets history if that ball just goes the other way or goes a fraction of an inch over the wall. Or Timo Perez. No, first time I saw him in SNL, I was like, hey, Timo Perez!
You have to say that.
Of course, but he was a good major leaguer and a great person. All right.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.